Warning, this show contains childish adult content and is intended for immature, mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views spoken are ours and ours alone, not those of any other bugger. If you're easily offended, we strongly suggest finding another podcast. Everybody neat and pretty, then on with the show.
And welcome to another episode of That Disney Parks Podcast. I'm Nick, and on this episode, I am joined by the very quiet P-Dubs.
Hello.
I say that because before the show pretty much started, he couldn't get a word in edgeways.
You shouldn't have said anything there, P-Dub. You should have just, just been like tumbleweed.
It wouldn't be the first time, would it? So
No.
Just went, fuck off.
Yeah, and as you can hear, Craig is here, who's causing the chaos.
I certainly am.
I might boot him out in a minute. And we are, of course, joined by Mr. D.
Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July as we record this episode. And some of the people listening on Patreon, they all get to hear this on the 4th of July. Everyone else, I hope you had a good 4th of July because you won't be listening to it until after that. But yes, it is Jaws Day. Stay out of the water if you're at the beach.
I just bought a Jaws t-shirt tonight, by the way.
Oh,
just
yes.
In honor of that, I did.
Where did you...
Has there been people eaten by sharks recently?
Yeah, there was somebody attacked.
Australia somewhere?
I think so. I think it was two shark attacks.
No, it wasn't. The one I saw wasn't Australia. I'm trying to remember where it was.
Was it Africa?
Africa? Wasn't it?
Was it Birkenhead?
Yeah.
No, yeah. They got gummed to death in Birkenhead by a basking shark.
Hang on, let's have a look. Egypt. Yeah, that's right, Africa.
Oh, Egypt, that's it. Yeah.
An Egyptian shark, weird.
A shark in Egypt's Red Sea kills two tourists, an Austrian and a Romanian. Bloody hell.
Two tourists?
Yeah.
My God, thought to go out to the families, like, brought it down a bit, like, but...
Yeah, just what you want to kick off a nice, fun podcast.
Enjoy your t-shirt, Mr. D.
T-shirt, by the way.
Where'd you
get it from? I'll post a picture in the group. It's from Shirtbox.
Shirtbox?
Yeah. I'll post a picture. It's a good one. I like it anyway.
I've got my Amity Police hat from Lucky 7 Hats. Mm-hmm. Which at the time I thought was a really good idea, but the problem is people don't tend to focus on the Amity bit and tend to focus on the police bit and think that I'm in love with the police. And I don't mean the former guest star of Only Murders in the Building season one, Sting's band, the actual organization, which I don't. I respect the good ones, of course, as everyone should do, but unfortunately, quite a few bad apples. Anyway. Let's not talk about apples, although I will be slightly talking about apples in a minute, because I'm going to ask what everybody's drinking. So, Craig, what are you drinking?
Well, I went down to the curry, of which you have been.
Well, I didn't go to the curry, I drove past the curry.
It was a drive-by, yeah.
It was a drive-by curry, yep.
And it was three bottles for £4.20. So I thought, Old Crafty Hen, a dark aged vintage.
Sorry, 6.5. I thought you were talking about Carrie then.
She is older than me, like. 6.5% dark and malty. So,
just like you.
Bit like me nan.
Yeah. P-Dubs, what are you drinking?
I have got a strong Colombian coffee.
What?
Hang on a second, Mr. Decaf. What the hell are you going? What do you mean a strong Colombian coffee at this time of night?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, that's,
I won't be going to sleep.
That's going to end badly.
It's going to end really badly. I like it.
This is not something else Colombian. Then I really would be in trouble.
Well, if you take some of that, maybe that'll offset the other one. I don't know. I don't know anything about this stuff, but just making
like Tino Asprilia.
Yes. Yeah. Just like Festino Asprilia.
All Igoha records.
Other Colombian footballers are available.
I like the way Mr. D is proclaiming all innocence. Like, yeah, I mean, not that I have any idea what Colombian marching powder would do to Colombian coffee, but, you know.
No idea.
No idea. Mr. D, what are you drinking?
I am drinking, I've gone back to my pineapple and grapefruit rum with a little Coke and ice cubes. Lovely.
Very good.
Cheers, rum and Coke.
Mr. D has just sent his t-shirt into the chat group. It says needing a bigger boat since 1975, and that is a nice t-shirt. So yes, I like that. The reason I asked you is because I believe both
I thought you were gonna break into song then
soon. So I've seen a Jaws t-shirt in Tesco, I've seen a Jaws t-shirt in Asda, and in Primark, they had, or Primarché, as the posh people say it, they had a Jaws hoodie. So lots of Jaws merchandise this year, I guess because it's an anniversary, 45th anniversary maybe? Something like that. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's like 47, isn't it?
I think it was 1976 it came out. I thought it was the year before Star Wars. It might have been 75. I don't know.
I think The book came out in 75.
Yeah, I thought it was 75. I think the book came out before that.
So why?
Yeah,
so,
book came out the year before.
Because for some unknown reason, E.T. is getting a IMAX re-release in...
I thought you were going to say appears in then.
Yeah. It's going to get an IMAX re-release in September for the 40th anniversary, which has already happened because it came out in the summer. And Jaws is also getting a 3D re-release in September. But I don't know why then, because it's not the 45th anniversary, so I don't know.
I mean, anyway. Where's ET2?
It's at Universal Studios, isn't it? Orlando.
The What's second the half of the ride is a sequel. News three of movie buffs. Was there ever plans for an ET2?
There was a script.
Oh.
There was a script. I don't know how polished the script was, but there was a script, I believe. If I remember correctly.
Clearly goes to, oh, I thought you were going to sing again then.
No. I'm waiting for that. If I remember correctly, Michael Jackson had some involvement.
He nearly said it again. Oh, God. My old crafty hens has come out my nose.
Yeah, I'm sure Michael Jackson was supposed to be involved with it, but it obviously never happened. I don't think Spielberg was totally on board with the whole idea of a sequel. He's not a big sequel guy, is he, really?
Yeah.
He's not done many.
They've been talking about it again, haven't they?
Have they?
Recently. Yeah, I think Henry Thomas has been doing press for something.
Of course Henry Thomas would be talking about an ET2. Jesus.
No, someone asked him in an interview, and I think he said no.
Oh.
I think, to be honest, I think that Christmas advert we got a few years ago would be better than any film sequel we'd ever get to E.T. anyway. So, that's fine. Right, so, what am I drinking? Well, I followed Mr. D's advice, and if you like pina colada...
Have you got a weird one?
In the rain. Huh?
You got a weird one you showed us. It was weird.
Yeah, it's what Mr. D got for Father's Day. Yeah, it's what Mr. D drank in the last podcast. So this is a pina colada cider. It is, I can't see because it's dark, pineapple and coconut flavoured cider. Now, I will, before I take a drink of this, the one thing I hate about cider nowadays is the fact that you get all of these different flavors. Cider is apple. Mm. That's it. I don't know what you call this, but it's not cider. It's not made of apples. So that's my only complaint. But it smells good. Hang on. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's so good. Oh.
It's fairly pineapple-y, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, I like that. That is. It's only 4%. It's quite a big bottle, but it's only 4%. But that would be lethal. You could you could knock that back far too quickly. And I took a big swallow.
Dangerous.
Oh, that is very nice and fruity, just like me. Right, happy Pride Month. Oh, that was last month. Right, shall we go and have a look at news? Just news. Not going to limit it to parks, just news. News, news, news. All news all the time. And then we'll do some news, and then we're going to play at least one round of Eat It. If anything else happens after that, we'll find out. But first of all, let's go and have a look at what's been going on in the news. I've only got one story prepared.
I've got
I'm
news.
I'm pretty sure I know what it is.
Nearly passed out.
Craig has got news.
I've got news.
Okay.
It's real news.
Okay.
Well, we're waiting with bated breath.
Yeah.
It's off all these nets of which I've fallen in love with. I think Molly and their mate are amazing on the YouTubes. Watch them. Molly's lipstick is absolutely stunning. So something as now you can book it through the My Disney Experience app that you couldn't normally do. So it's at the two resorts of Fort Wilderness Resort, Campground, and Port Orleans Riverside. You can now book horse-drawn carriage rides using the My Disney Experience app, not just walk-ups and stuff like that. So these 25-minute rides cost $55 for a party of four, or two adults and three small children. You've got to be malnutritioned and really small to fit in the space of four adults.
I've never done a horse-drawn carriage. I know it's something you see in New York as well. I have had one of those ones in London, you know, the ones with the cyclists at the front.
Yeah.
They charge a ridiculous amount of money to take you about 10 yards.
And at Universal.
I had one of them at Universal with Stewie.
Yeah, I've not had one at Universal. But, I mean, is $55 good? I don't know.
Doesn't seem too bad to me.
You're staying on the hotel resort, basically, so you're just going around the grounds. It's $55 for four people for 25 minutes. So you divide it by four. It's literally, what, $12, $12.50 or something, $13 each, something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's well worth it, making memories with your kids and all that. Mm. Down with that.
I mean, I don't know what is it exciting to look at the grounds that you're staying on? I don't know.
Well, is it exciting to look at a horse's arsehole? But it's the same thing, isn't it? It's a Disney horse's arsehole. So
it's not that. The towel is over the arsehole, isn't it?
Yeah, but when it pops up, it's stuck.
See, this is the, like, the last time I spoke about arseholes on a podcast, it was surprisingly not... Well, actually, it was about you. When I was on Tangent City the other week, and we were talking about the lack of arseholes in... Jurassic World, and of course there's lots of arseholes in Jurassic World, but not on the dinosaurs. And of course I made reference to the fact that Craig is my butthole whisperer. He's the one that tells me if there's any buttholes in anything. So yes, you're always associated with arseholes. There you go. Well done, Craig. But that's a good story. I didn't know about that. That's a nice little tidbit,
isn't it?
Hmm.
I'd book that.
Would you?
I mean, say...
You're not staying anywhere near there, though, are you?
No, but say you'd never stayed there.
Mm.
Yeah, especially the Wilderness, Fort Wilderness campgrounds. You're literally just having a little tour around the resort, aren't you?
And that's a regular thing over there. Mm. They do golf carts and stuff, don't they? You can drive around the grounds, especially at Halloween and Christmas.
They still do the Segways.
It's a big thing.
They used to do a Segway thing, didn't they? Where you could hire a Segway and go on a little
tour
around the grounds. God, do you remember Segway? Hey, the future of transport.
Well, Segway. They used to do it in Epcot. There used to be a Segway tour around Epcot early in the morning before the park opened.
Mm.
I'm assuming that is no more. I haven't heard about it for a long time, but it was a thing.
We used to see some cast members on them as well.
Hmm.
Yeah, in the car parks, directing people, especially the Epcot car park.
I was going to say. I saw him in Epcot near the pavilion, like the gateway to the pavilions. I remember someone being at one. I'm thinking, bloody hell, that's a Segway. Because I don't think I'd ever seen one in real life before until then.
But, was he carrying a futuristic speak and spell?
He was dressed as Gizmo Duck from DuckTales, which is the only way, thank you, P-Dubs, it's the only way you should be dressed using a Segway.
Is P-Dubs okay?
Yeah, I think so.
A little squeak then?
Yeah, he did a little duck talk. He did. Hang on, I was making sure P-Dubs was ready. That's why I fluffed up the line. P-Dubs was just making sure he could do the DuckTales noise. I mean, all right, there's a delay on the microphone, but you can at least hear the tail end of it. Tail end. Okay, right. Mr. D, I'm going to see if you can trump my story.
Is that a clue?
No.
I don't know if that was a clue. I was trying to think if that was a clue, but, well, no. I mean, by popular demand, Mr. Chapek's contract has been extended by 3 years.
Absolute so bollocks. That's news. How did you know that's what I was going to talk about?
There was one or two things I would imagine that you'd want to talk about. Was that the one?
It was. No, you're right. The main reason I wanted to talk about it was actually not because I was interested in it, but because I know Steve Wilson messaged me about it last week, whenever it was that it happened. I knew it would be a talking point for us to discuss. I think what's interesting, and I don't know if you noticed this as well, but this was just after Peter Rice was let go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I think was a bit of a surprise because he was kind of like the top TV guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I'd argue that TV has probably been their most successful asset as of late.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bit controversial, that one. I saw a few comments about that one online. A lot of people didn't think it was a good move or a fair move, but who knows? I don't know the insides and the outsides of that. But yeah, I mean, I don't think I was surprised that Bob, as he likes me to call him, got extended. It was only 3 years, which I think was less than Iger and Eisner previously, but I wasn't really surprised. They need some stability, and I think, you know, Chapek's come in at a difficult time. We might not like some of the things he's done. In fact, I don't like some of the things he's done. I don't like the ongoing trend, but you're looking at it cold-bloodedly as an investor in Disney or Disney's board of directors, you know, you would say that financially he's weathered the storm kind of thing and has probably bought himself, you know, the 3-year extension to see how he really does. But
let me flip that question round to you though, right? Mm. So you said that you don't really like a lot of the stuff he's done. Can you think of anything that he's done that you've liked?
Well, that's a difficult question. I mean,
what's a popcorn bucket?
On the face of it, no. But again, you know, if you were making excuses for him, which I'm not, but I'm trying to be balanced, you know, he's had to manage, you know, an unprecedented time. Has he done it the way I would have hoped he would have done it? No. I mean, things about how he treated cast members and some other things I think could have been done much better. But again, the people who made the decision to extend his contract weren't the Disney fans, right? It was the other board members, and they're looking at it from a very different set of criteria than we are. And from that perspective, so far, he's done okay, I would say. I don't even think they're super happy with him, by the way, right? I don't believe that. Just based again on some things, you know, and who knows the truth, but things that have been said, things that have been read, but, you know, from a stability point of view, we're just coming out of COVID, hopefully, and there's lots of unrest in the world, et cetera, et cetera. dumping the CEO and starting again when maybe they don't have another successor in the wings, that's not great either. So you know, it doesn't mean they love him, but they're willing to give him another 3 years. So there you go. That's
if I could
say.
If I could take your answer and like play it back and replace the word Bob Chapek or the combination of Bob Chapek and change that to Boris Johnson and change board members to Tory MPs.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like the regular defence people have for
it would
Boris Johnson.
It would be similar
Minister.
Without the corruption.
Yeah. Well, right. I don't know.
I don't think Chapek's being accused of corruption, right? And being dishonest and being a buffoon, right? He might be totally money and profit orientated and couldn't give a shit about the actual Disney fans. Yes, guilty as charged, I think. It would be interesting. I mean, we'll never know, but it would be interesting to be a fly in the wall and know what he was being told, you know. Is he being told, hey, by the way, Bob, you know, your reputation is shit, so you might want to work on that in the next 3 years, or you won't have another 3 years.
True.
You can only hope, you know.
I listened to Jim Hill's podcast today, today, 4th of July.
Yeah, I did as well, yeah.
And he offers a slightly, it was like almost he had to sort of keep him on as damage limitation because the share price is tanking a little bit. But they had to sort of keep him on to get a bit of stability because the uncertainty of getting rid of him would drive the share price down. Yeah. Then the two other people, I can't remember, Eisner is it, and the son-in-law, whatever his name was, they got 5 and 4 year extensions. He's only been given a 3 year extension.
Mm-hmm.
And he's literally, no one's happy with prices going up, but Disney have been doing this for years and years and years, and we all still go. So what he's maybe trying to do, I mean, are they going to build a fifth park?
No.
Probably not.
No, definitely not.
But maybe one way of trying to limit this is where they're trying to get to the ceiling, isn't it? Where people actually maybe drop off and stop going. Not stop going, but they get to a level. Mm-hmm. They've got this park reservation system. That might be limiting the numbers of people to get into the parks. Well, it is. It does limit it. Do you know what I mean?
I think the big wild card. Sorry, Nick. Go ahead.
No, I just because I just looked it up in real time. So I've just looked at the last year of Disney stocks, and they resemble my one share in Beyond Meat that I bought, which dropped a similar amount, probably. It's gone down 45% in the last year. So over the last 12 months, it's gone from 180, 190. It's hard to see where the line is exactly. But it's now at 96. 0.17 a share. So it's gone down $81.13 a share since last year.
If it does keep going down, you'd have to be worried about a takeover.
I don't think it will keep going down because the last couple of months it's been quite stagnant. But regardless of that, a 45% drop in a year for a company like Disney, that is quite that's quite shocking. And I think Mr. D, you're probably right. I think the biggest problem Disney face right now, it's a huge beast, right? It's a massive company, and it's got lots of, you know, technical arms and, you know, nuances and things like that, which you can't just have somebody walk into and take over. You know, it's not that simple to do. So I think you're probably right in that you can't really sack someone or not give them a vote of confidence unless you've got somebody lined up. And I just don't think... I mean, to be honest, I'm not convinced Chapek was ready to. He might have thought he was ready to, but I think it's very clear from his decisions. And I'm thinking about the wider one. So, I mean, obviously, the stuff with the park, you're absolutely right. You know, it's almost impossible to come in and have to make those decisions in a pandemic, because no one knows what the right answer is, and you're obviously governed by external forces and when you think you should open and all this kind of stuff. So with that, I do sympathise. But look what he's done to Pixar. You know, he's turned that company now into such an afterthought. People can't even get themselves to go to cinema to watch Lightyear. And I went to see Minions 2 yesterday, and that film, I don't think the final results are in yet, but that was projected to do opening weekend between 120 and 150 million. If it just did 120 million, if it did the bottom end of that, that's double what Lightyear took 2 weeks ago on its opening weekend. Pixar is an absolute afterthought at this point. Lightyear is absolutely tanking down the charts. And it's because it's been made to see like a third-rate company. At once, you know, one time it was like almost a jewel in the crown of Disney.
And films. I think that's another big issue they've got is Disney Plus seems to have taken precedence over everything.
Mm.
And I'm talking Marvel films. I think they're putting more into the series than they are the films at the moment. Obviously, Multiverse of Madness did great guns, but I don't think it was as good as previous films. And they will start to see it. And I think that's been the problem. Look at Star Wars. They've completely forgotten about the big screen now.
Yeah, they've bastardized Star Wars. I mean, they're terrified of putting out a film.
Well, I mean, it's just... I still don't think they've really figured out, you know, how to manage cinema and streaming.
No.
You know, I mean, you said it last week, Nick, I think. You know, you went to see Buzz Lightyear, but it's coming out on Disney Plus. So if you've got a Disney Plus subscription, why should you go and see it in the cinema? You know, and the cinema isn't cheap. So, you know, if you've got a family of four, I know you have the cinemas with food and everything else, probably 60, 70, 80 quid. You know, that's your year's subscription almost.
I was going to say, that's your options. Your options are go to the cinema to see a film and pay 80 quid. Or wait 60 days or 45 days and watch on Disney Plus for your £8 a month membership or whatever you paid.
And this is the thing. When I talked a minute ago, we started to say something and I interrupted you. So this is the big wild card, right? I mean, with inflation running how it's running, with exchange rates, you know, from a UK point of view, I know that's only UK, but you know, there's a wholly different economic situation coming. Disney have massively increased the prices for the parks, you know, adding on Genie Plus and everything else. It's going to be really interesting to see, once all this pent-up demand is gone, what actually happens in a year's time, 2 years' time, 3 years' time, right? Because I don't know what's going to happen, but I've got to believe that if people are paying hugely more money for energy, for petrol, diesel, whatever you're using, because even if you've got an electric car, you're still paying to charge it up, so that's, you're getting hit on energy costs.
Macro.
There.
Macro. You know, just food in general.
Yeah. So, you know, how much disposable income are people going to have to go and spend 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 grand on a Florida holiday, you know?
This is it. As you said, like, it's, for a lot of people, it's pent up money. You know, some people, we weren't that lucky during the pandemic. I was able to work. That was great. My wife wasn't able to work. And, you know, for months, she got no support from the government at all. So her income was completely wiped out. She got nothing. She eventually did, although, I mean, it wasn't much. It was something, but it wasn't as much as some people were getting. So we didn't, we didn't bank up tens of thousands of pounds during the pandemic, unfortunately. But people that did, they are now, because they've, you know, had time to save and everything like that, they are now having those once-in-a-lifetime holidays to Florida that they always wanted but can never afford.
And that's exactly what it's going to become again, is a once-in-a-lifetime. There won't be continuous people going back all the time.
It's the problem is as well, it's not just the cost of a Disney holiday itself is going up. but it's how badly we are doing as a country, right? You know, the price, that the pounds or dollar conversion is through the floor. Like you said, Mr. D, you know, gas, electric, food, that's going up globally. That's not just confined to the UK. That's going up everywhere. People are going to find it harder to live. So people have put these holidays for this year as the first, you know, almost year of freedom that we've had since the pandemic first started. But as Mr. Ripley was saying to us, you know, in a chat group the other week, you know, Disney seemed to really be scrambling to get people booking for next year. So I think that's what we're seeing already.
They're not scrambling that hard, but because the offer they've done is shite. But look at the holiday, right? Look, there's a Florida tax, whatever you want to call it. There's a Florida markup. So for me, I've just booked Florida for next year, right? But I've got a summer holiday this year. This year, I'm flying from Heathrow to Washington. I've hired a car to go to Philadelphia. I'm then going from Philadelphia to New York, and then I'm flying home from New York back to Heathrow for four of us, £4,800, right? To go to Walt Disney World next year and Universal, £14,900. And only some of that is Disney. The rest of it is the overheads for flights and the markup on the flights and everything like that. Why is it so expensive to fly to Florida? What's the difference?
I was going to say it's 2 hours a year, but it's not, is it? Because you're going to be going the same kind of time.
It's the same. It's basically the same time, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, the same way, I've just booked my flights to Canada and we're going just before half term, but it's cost us about 500, after tax, it's probably about 500 quid each to fly. I've got to buy accommodation.
Which isn't too bad, really.
I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah, and we got our flights for about the same to Florida, for about the same as they have been, but I don't know that they're going to stay there. I can't see with the price of fuel going up how they're going to stay there. So,
oh, no, the price is recently coming.
Maybe that's why next year, Craig, you're paying more for your flights, more than I've paid this year for mine. But, you know, anyway, the point is there's a big unknown around the economy. And
there's a massive crash coming. There's a recession coming. There is.
Yeah,
there is.
I think there probably is, but we don't know, do we? So, you know, things could all suddenly, you know, Ukraine could settle down, this could happen, that could happen, who knows? But the point is, it's a big unknown. So I think the point I want to get to, good discussion, but I think the point is, he's got kind of a three-year period to see if he's a long-term CEO, because there's a difference between managing through a crisis. Everybody gives you, you know, a bit of flexibility and a bit of leeway for managing in the pandemic. It's like, oh, well, you know, unprecedented, difficult times, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, fine. Okay. We're out of that now. So the next 3 years is kind of really, you know, has he got the right strategies? Is he building the right team? Has he got the right skills? So it's kind of jury's out, really. And I don't think we're going to know until, you know, a year or two down the road whether he's successful and the company's successful. And at the end of the day, it will be how successful the company results are. And that should be reflected in the share price, among other things, the quarterly results and all of that.
Mm.
But it would just be interesting to see what happens in the next couple of years.
That Tron roller coaster is an absolute disgrace. It's shocking. It's appalling. It's a travesty. It's
why?
Shite.
What do you mean?
Why? Because in 2019, when I was on holiday, they were building it, and we were going past on the people mover, and you could see the track. It was all there, right?
I disagree, Craig. I think he's been smart there. So Nick, you asked me, you know, what smart things has he done? That's a smart thing he's done right there.
I have to agree with you, Mr. D, on that.
He's held it back deliberately, Craig. Why would you blow it all in 1 year? when in fucking a year open, when there is exactly it. What we talked about, there's the pent-up demand anyway. People would have come open to Walt Disney 2 years World this ago. Year if all they had was blooming Mickey balloons.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
2 years
didn't even
ago.
Need to launch Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't think.
Open yeah. it 2 years ago, right, when he could have done, and give us some more rides instead of sitting on that.
Right, but Craig...
Why would you, though?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, remember, they didn't have enough construction staff, right?
Yep.
They were in the pandemic, so that must have slowed everything down. But why
they
would
all
you...
all at friggin' Universal.
No. Why would you blow it all in 1 year?
Universal just shat out Velocicoaster.
You didn't answer my question, Craig. Why? Yeah, one ride, okay? One attraction. Why would you blow Guardians of the Galaxy? They didn't even get the money's worth out of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Why would you throw Tron in there this year when they've already got max crowds because everybody's wanting to go?
And also...
Why would you hold it back to next year?
No, but also... Yeah, the thing is though, Mister, you've forgotten the other one as well, which is Ratatouille. So in the space look, let's pretend that there wasn't a shutdown of the parks, right? That didn't happen. If that didn't happen and the parks had to close and construction stop and everything like that, in the 50th anniversary year, you would have got three brand new opening attractions, plus you'd have had one that had just recently opened with Mickey and Minnie. Right, sure. What we ended up getting was Ratatouille opening up the same anniversary year. You've had Guardians opened up now, and you've got Tron probably, I'm guessing, opening early next year. Right?
Yeah.
And Mr. D is completely right, Craig. The idea of building attractions is to bring guests back. That is why Universal went on this mad rampage of trying to get an attraction open every year.
You've got to go back anyway because you can't get on the bloody rides when you go there. Try and get on Star Wars, for God's sake.
Right.
But the people are there. They are going.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're making the money, those people who are struggling to get on Star Wars, they've paid for their hotel, they've paid for the tickets, they've paid for the Genie Plus. Listen, you've got to understand, I'm trying to separate art. You know, as a Disney fan, I don't like it. But as we're talking about the decision to extend Bob Chapek's contract, that's what we're talking about. As a business decision, you know, Nick's right. If the pandemic hadn't happened, they would have been launching these attractions to their original plan, which would have built up to the 50th. And remember, they're getting ready for Universal opening Epic Universe, so they need something up the sleeve for that, and they're gonna be lacking there, I think. But the pandemic did happen, and they were smart enough to realise, look, people are gonna want to come back. They've got all this money. They haven't been on holiday. It is the 50th. What can we launch, and then what can we keep for later? Because they didn't. The reason why Tron isn't open is not because they couldn't have got it open, right? They could have opened it ages ago if they wanted to. We were there in 2019, it was nearly finished.
Exactly.
It's because exactly, Craig. It's because they planned it not to be open, because they didn't want
allegedly,
to open it.
Allegedly. You
don't
know.
No, not allegedly, definitely. Yeah. This is an attraction that's already open in another part. There's nothing mysterious about it. There's no development needing to be done. That thing
they
was
could
damn
have built
near
it
built
in
2019.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to. Well, right? They deliberately held it back.
But yeah, if we go back in time, that should have been open for the 50th.
Yeah,
it was all part of the 50th.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
the Mary
of
Poppins
course it should be.
And,
listening to what we're saying,
and everything
Craig.
Else. I am listening and I appreciate what you're saying, but I'm saying it's dog shit. It should have been open three years ago.
Dog shit, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about as a fan. We're talking about, you know, what has Chapek done, and has he made any smart decisions? Whether they're popular as a fan, that's one thing, right? So, yeah, we want attractions. We want them now. We want them all. We want them to be great. We want them to be free. We want them to be short queues. Yeah, we want all that. But in terms of the board extending his contract, you know, if he'd blown all of that, right, if he'd opened everything up, even if it was possible, even if he had the labour, which I don't think they had, by the way, right? I mean, they haven't even opened everything. You just said they've only just brought back, you know, horse and carriage rides. They're still opening restaurants, right? Mm-hmm. Victoria and Albert's hasn't even opened the flagship restaurant, for God's sake, right? They're struggling for staff, right? They've got to staff up the rides and construction crews, right? Yeah, that'll get Chapek's contract extended for sure.
would I love to see the staff
wage just go up? Absolutely. But, you know, again, managing through the pandemic and the
fuel prices are going up. Prices are going up. Put the wages up. Bring P-dubs. The people back.
P-dubs.
Okay. Yeah.
Moving on.
Can you please say something? Because you've obviously sat there for the last 10 minutes. I mean, this was like just then. I mean, I loved it. I love being in the middle of it. It was a little bit like Question Time meets Kate's trip report to Walt Disney World. Fantastic stuff. Very argumentative. Yeah. So, P-dubs, do you want to...
I love you, Craig.
Any
like, you too, Mr. D.
any light you want to shed on this?
I'll have a good debate. It's good.
Oh, no. 100%. Yeah.
I was masturbating while we were doing it.
Oh, for God's sake.
You dirty dog. Baby was.
Spider was so happy. Yes, P-dubs.
Now we've got Moana's water fountains to look forward to.
Don't get them started on Moana's water fountain.
The thing is, though, just to finish off on this...
You'll be seeing us a tap and a hose pipe.
It probably will be. But to finalise this story, because I still can't believe we're still only on the second story, I think that the thing that will be the most interesting about this next 3 years is, as you say, what's going to happen. But also, if, it's a big if, but if he doesn't turn this around, if things continue to keep going down south, and let's, you know, at the end of the day, the ball, they have to answer the ball members. So if the share price is going down, if the ball don't think he's going to do a good job, they're not going to extend that any longer. What will be interesting there is, number one, who will take over, but also his actual tenure. Because if you look back, you know, since the Disney renaissance of the early to mid 80s, you know, Eisner was in charge for about 15 years, I think. And then Iger came in and he was in charge for about 15 years. So when they put some at the top of the tree here, you know, it's not a short-term thing. It's not for like 3 to 5 years. So if they do turn around at, you know, the next general meeting when his contract's coming up and they decide they don't want him there anymore, he'll have only been there for about 5 years. That's a very, very short reign to be in charge at the top. So it will be interesting. But none of us can see that far into the future. But one thing we do see, P-dubs, we do see an opening date, apparently, for Splash Mountain's retheming.
Yeah, apparently. We had that leaked thing, didn't we, from the lead actress from the film?
Yes.
Where she said she'd been in to record dialogue for it. But now Disney have actually come out and confirmed that it will be opening in late 2024.
Now, this goes back to what Craig was saying. There is no reason why it should take 2 years. I mean, look, we say 2 years. Splash Mountain hasn't closed yet. We don't have a closure date. But they're retheming an existing attraction. It shouldn't take a year to 18 months to do this. Really.
No.
They shouldn't have to do that much to it. They're probably already doing the prep work for the replacement models and scenery and stuff already. So why it's not going to open until late 2024 is madness, especially when it was announced in, what, 2021?
Yeah.
No, 2020.
It was 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it was...
So when there was a run on the shop, wasn't there? And everyone went and bought all their racist toys.
Yeah. It came in big bags full of them, sent them for stupid eBay money. Yeah. So apparently... on both coasts, it's going to be 2024. Late 2024. I guess time will tell. But P-dubs, I mean, are you excited by this? You know?
Princess and the Frog wasn't one of my favourite films, I'll be honest. I remember seeing Song of the South when I was younger. I can't pinpoint exactly everything about it. I think it's got an iconic soundtrack. I can't particularly say I'm overly excited by it. Considering a lot of the animatronics have already been reused as it is from other attractions in the past. And if that's what they're doing again, is it really going to make much difference other than getting rid of the racist storyline?
Yeah, I can see that. I really like Princess and the Frog. I like the film. I like the soundtrack. I like the villain. I don't know how much of Dr. Facilier you're going to see in the ride, because it seems like it's going to be quite a pleasant ride, but you know,
he'll be at the bottom of the ramp.
That's what I'm guessing. But yeah, I mean, I'm quite excited, and I think it's good to have the film represented. I do think the one big thing that Disney don't seem to capitalize on often enough is when they do have a successful film. And bearing in mind that, you know, this is also getting a spin-off series on Disney Plus as well next year. So it's not like it's a 13-year-old film or whatever it is. But they don't often do enough with their IPs, and they leave it far too long. I mean, the fact that Disneyland Paris is getting Frozen Land about 5 years after the sequels come out to Frozen is madness to me as well. You know, if you think about how quickly they turned around Frozen Ever After at Epcot, and it's taken years for anything else to show up in any of the Disney parks, I do think they're bad with their IP usage. And it's probably quite a few rides that really they could probably rethink. Or restaurants. So in that regard, I think it's good. But yeah, I just don't understand why it's taking so long. Just get it done.
Could it be because of the series? Could it be that they want to do it after the series to tie into something in the series?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, it's not a bad shout. Because, I mean, synergy works both ways, right? You can put something in to get people excited for the series, or you could let the series come out and let people enjoy that and then stick a ride there.
Well, so. Have to give a closing date for Splash Mountain.
So that's what I'm saying. The thing is, we don't know at this point how long this refurbishment's going to take, or this conversion's going to take, because, and you know, if we know it's going to open in late 2024, we can assume, you know, probably November, December time of that year, I guess. And so, yeah, once we know once we got a closure date for Splash Mountain, then we'll know how long this redesign is going to take.
I'd like them to. I love that film, right? And I'd like them to double down on it. I'd like her restaurant to be there. I'd like a meet and greet to be there. That whole area could be rethemed. But it's hard looking at the geography of it. Where could you put a restaurant? Where could you put? I think some of the Toy Story characters meet at the bottom of the splash area. But sometimes, no, I think Woody and Jesse have a little meet and greet there sometimes.
Well, they would float, to be fair. So
yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like, just follow through and double down on it.
Yeah.
Why can't you have or combine the meet, have a character meet and greet inside the restaurant?
Yeah,
that would be absolutely fabulous.
Well, I mean, obviously, The Princess and the Frog is set in New Orleans. We have New Orleans Square, but what do we find in New Orleans Square right now?
Blue Bayou restaurant.
And I was thinking, you know what? I thought for some strange reason I thought that's what the Haunted Mansion was.
It is.
Oh, I'm not crazy.
At Disneyland, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. I'm kind of right.
Don't eat beignets in the film.
Yeah, it's a New Orleans film. Food.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because it's like in Disneyland, it's in like one of these antebellum mansions in it, the outside of it. It's different. It's a different exterior from Walt Disney World.
Well, that's what
so
I wanted to bring up.
It fits in with the New Orleans theming, doesn't it?
Well, that's what I wanted to bring up because Lego have just announced a Haunted Mansion
Song
Lego
to the
kit.
South? Oh.
a Haunted Mansion Lego set, which I think is based on a Disneyland version. But
let's have a look. Because I've not seen this, so I'm going to have a look.
So what it is, it's... So a few months ago, obviously a few years ago, they released that massive Cinderella castle, didn't they? Like £300 set of Lego, massive castle. Well, for the 50th anniversary...
That's very much Disneyland.
Yeah. So for the 50th anniversary of Disney World, they released a miniature version of that, which was much, much cheaper, obviously much, much smaller. They have just released, or sorry, they just announced, because it comes out on the 1st of August, a Haunted Mansion mini kit as well. I like these because they are small, and it means they don't take up much real estate. That Disneyland castle is ridiculously huge. So that's why I've never bought it. But I will buy the small version. And I think having little miniature models of attraction buildings like this adds, you know, you can make your own little Disney park with this stuff. But you can't make the Haunted Mansion, can you, from Disney World? You're only going to really be able to make the Disneyland version, I think.
I can't remember the geography in all this, right? But could Pecos Bills be rethemed to Princess and the Frog?
Well, I mean, I suppose you just do whatever you want to do.
No, I know you, but is it close enough? Is Pecos Bills close enough to Splash Mountain to get away with it?
It's close enough, yeah.
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 All you've got to do is retheme the area around it.
It's kind of odd, though. I mean, it is very close because obviously it's just across pathway from Splash Mountain, but it is adjacent. It's in a frontier style building, which runs a whole length, which includes things like the merchandise shop and the shooting gallery and all of that. So, and Country Bear Jamboree. So it's kind of, you'd have to do something with the exterior, I think, if you really wanted to. To do that, don't know if it's in the right place, really, Craig.
Yeah, I'm just thinking outside
a new restaurant.
I mean, let's get a new restaurant all day long. Yeah.
Well, actually, Tom Sawyer's Island. There was it Andy Polly's? It used to be there.
Oh.
Put it on Tom Sawyer's Island. Mind you got to. You got to boat people out there, haven't you?
Has anyone ever read Tom Sawyer? There's a few choice words in Tom Sawyer, yeah?
Yeah, I think when I was a kid I did, yeah.
So maybe we need to cancel Tom Sawyer as well, get that out the parks.
Well, anyway, this little mini Lego Haunted Mansion comes out 1st of August, $34.99 in the UK, $40 in America, plus tax, depending on where you live. So if you're interested in that, then there you go. You can have that. No Princess and the Frog one at the moment.
Put the link in our group now and I'll buy it.
You can only pre-order it.
Oh, okay. I'll do that as well.
1st of August, it'll be sent out to you. But I am a man of my word. I will do that. P-Dubs, was there any other news you wanted to talk about?
The only other bit that I spotted was the return of Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique.
Yes.
Is returning in both Magic Kingdoms from next month. I believe it was the 25th of August. It will be just returning the two in the parks of Walt Disney World and Disneyland. The one in the Grand Floridian and Disney Springs is still yet to get a reopening date. But yeah, it's returning, and I know a lot of people have been waiting for this to come back. It's a big thing, alongside something we spoke about a couple of shows back with the returning of the barbershop as well. I think you can throw all of that in together. I think it's a big rite of passage for both of those. So yep, that's returning on the 25th of August.
absolutely book them because they're fabulous. If you've got little girls and, oh my God, or boys, but little girls, absolutely wonderful. We had the same fairy godmother twice with our Eve, and it was such an emotional little period because it was the last time our Eve got done. Oh, wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. It's a pain in the arse once you've been walking around the park for 3 hours in 1,000-degree heat in full regalia. But in the air-conditioned area when you get made up and everything, it's magical. It's absolutely magical.
I just don't know why they haven't tried to do a Marvel version of this yet.
Oh, absolutely. They shut the Pirates one down. The Pirates one was absolutely brilliant. The Pirates League.
Mm.
We did that twice. They were all in character. It was all arr and all that. And
just in case anyone didn't know what a pirate in character would be like, thanks for confirming that for us. Jesus.
But it was the same staff the two times we did it, and they were all brilliant. And once you did it, you went on a little part. There was a little hidden room that you went into, and that's where you got your gifts and all that. And it was brilliant. And it's all there. It's all just shut, and they're not using it.
Yeah.
What a waste.
There's a new one coming, though, isn't there?
Oh,
a new, is there? Newly themed one, yeah. Bibbidi Bob JPEG.
Yep. You get a. Oh, I don't even know what he looks like.
You get a contract.
Pretty
you get
in and out. There's not you get a business suit.
Yeah. A little business suit.
Shave your head.
Yep. Yeah. Line of cocaine under your nose.
Covered in glitter.
That's the luxe package.
Slap some paste on it. Tip some glitter on it. You're done.
You get a little share price chart as well.
Take it's $2,000 an hour.
Yeah.
Right. Well, look, as much fun as it has been to talk about news, of which I thought we'll get about 20 minutes out of this, almost at the hour mark, let us go and do a little bit of eating with Eat It. Did you know that we have a Patreon? I'm sure you do. It's been mentioned before. But just in case you don't know, we do have a Patreon. And on that Patreon, we have early releases of all our shows. We also have exclusive shows that you can only hear on our Patreon. And we've been doing this for years. So actually, if you subscribe to be a Patreon today, then you'll get access to the entire back catalogue. It's about 4 or 5 years worth of podcasts you've never heard because they've never been made available publicly except for the odd one with releases as Haystar. Anyway, as well as that, we've got a Discord which we'll be launching later this summer for all of our patrons to join. We've also got a Facebook group which you can join as well, an exclusive one that's only open to our Patreons. But as well as that, our Patreons are the lovely people who keep these podcasts going. And now I will tell you who they are. We've got Lee and Laura, Karen, Chris. We've got Kate and Mel and Daniel. I met Daniel. He's a nice guy. We've got Paul and Sandy and Crystal. James, Nikki, Dan, Kevin, Alison, Dave, Sinead, Tom, David with an E at the end of his name. We've got Breaking Dad, great guys. We've got Rob, we've got Todd, we've got Jane and Steve, as well as Stephen. So we thank you for your support of us now and your continued support. And if you would like to become a Patreon member yourself, please visit patreon.com/thatpodcast. And I've even put a handy link in the show notes below. Thank you. Eat it. Get yourself. course, when I say eating, this is metaphorical eating. We are not there. We cannot do this. That is not the point of this segment. No, it is to talk about some of the fine foods you can find across the parks and resorts. And we put together our ideal menu based on those. So, Craig.
Yeah?
What are we doing?
So we're doing dining in Hollywood Studios. So anywhere is open. Oh no, it was, we were avoiding Star Wars and Toy Story Land, was it?
I just thought, although they're quite small areas, because they are so kind of like specific and, you know, almost separate. Yeah.
So I'm happy with that. So it's as you know, it's your starter, your mains, your dessert, with a drink, with every thing. So who wants to go first?
I'm happy to go first.
Are you doing all of them, or are you just doing your starter?
Whichever you want. I can do all three, or we can do individuals.
Let's just do individuals, and you can, you know, do your whole menu.
Yeah.
Go on then.
Yep, so for my starter, I am heading to Baseline Tap House. and I'm going with the California Cheese and Charcuterie at $10. And a great named drink. I am going for the Ace Space Bloody Orange Hard Cider, which you can either get a 16-ounce, which is $10.50, or a 22-ounce at $11.75.
Bloody hell. What's the percentage on that?
I don't know. I will have a look at the menu because I didn't write that down. Where am I? There we are. It's currently set on wait times. I don't want that. Where is it? There it is. So, menu. They are 6.9%.
Oh, that's got a kick like a mule then. Go ahead, what's your mainsies?
So my main, I'm heading somewhere that always seems to drag me in whenever I'm at Hollywood Studios, and I'm going to the Backlot Express. And I'm going with the smoked barbecue pulled pork burger at $14.29. And for my drink, I am going with the Rum Island Breeze.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, let me see what was in that, because I've got the menu there. So that is, come on, there it is. So that's Parrot Bay coconut rum, Bacardi Superior rum, pineapple juice, Minute Maid premium lemonade, and grenadine.
That sounds a messy affair, that, to be honest. Three of them and you'd be on your back.
Yep, definitely. And then for my dessert, and this will put me on my back even more. I am going for my dessert. I'm going with the tropical tart.
I've had a few of them.
Where's that from?
That's the ABC Commissary.
That's the ABC, right.
Yeah. And for my drink there, I am going with Happy Days, which again is pretty similar to what I've just had, and with some slight changes to it. It's again the Parrot Bay coconut rum, melon liqueur, banana liqueur, and grenadine with orange and pineapple juice.
Has that got like a little leather jacket?
Possibly. Hey.
I've just been watching Barry, which has the Fonz as a main character in it, and he doesn't look like Fonz anymore, but he's still fantastic.
What's Barry?
It's the best TV show you're not watching.
Oh, we need to watch it now.
We will talk after.
Okay. Go on then, Nick.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
Watch for individuals then.
Thank you, Mr. P. Dabs. That was lovely.
Right. So, my venue, I chose a sci-fi diner. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I've always wanted to go.
Sci-fi diner.
Yeah, that's boss, mate.
Yeah, I've never been. I've been to 50s Prime Time. I love 50s Prime Time, but, you know, it can get a little bit edgy. So I thought I'd go for the sci-fi diner.
Lick knives and all that.
Well, I'm currently sitting here with my elbows on the table, and we all know what happens if you put your elbows on your table at the 50s prime time, so you get stabbed.
I had a burger in the sci-fi diner once, and I ate half my napkin because it's that dark, you can't see what
you're eating. It is dark, yeah. It's true.
Well, let's hope I do better than that. So, for my starter, I went to the baseline. Yeah. And I went for the Bavarian pretzel with beer cheese fondue and spicy mustard. I think it was the spicy mustard that really swung it for me. But yeah, so
I mean, Bavarian a pretzel, you can't go wrong.
That's what I mean. You know, I think that's a good choice. So that was $9. My first drink I'm getting from the 50s prime time. It's a 50th anniversary special. It's called the Magical Beacon Cocktail, which is Empress 1908 gin, Bowles Blue Curico, lemonade, origate, which is almond apparently, lemon, hibiscus, ooh, grenadine, and a souvenir glow cube. He does love a souvenir glow cube, eh? That's $17.
What do you do with the glow cubes? Where do you get them home?
Put them in your drinks, make your drinks glow.
You go in a drawer.
Well, yeah.
Put them in the bottom drawer, yeah.
They go in the drawer first. For my main course, I went to the Brown Derby, and I went for a tomato risotto with eggplant fritters and pepper relish. A whopping so 29... Nice. Well, this is the thing, right? It sounded really nice, and I looked at a picture of it being served up, and it doesn't look like $29 worth of food, but that's what they're charging for it.
I mean, $29 for a... entree in a signature restaurant isn't bad, though. It is a signature restaurant.
Yeah. But it's vegetables.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but it's still in a signature restaurant, so you would imagine, and I haven't seen a picture of it, you'd imagine it would be the best vegetables, hand-prepared, served beautifully. Prepared beautifully.
I won't lie. That's what I like to hope. I won't lie. The picture that I saw of it, it was served in a dog bowl. I'm not even. I really wish I was shitting.
What do you expect for $29? Cheapskate.
A dog bowl of vomit, because that is risotto.
Honest to God, it looked just like the dog bowl we had with the water in for our dog. It was a disgrace. Oh. But I still wanted to eat it, so it did its job. At least the food looked good. For my drink, I went to the baseline and I create your own beer flight. Now, I can't select the four California beers that you can choose because I didn't see all the California beers, but I thought, what's better than one beer? Four. I appreciate they're only small, but you get to try them and get to then, you know, if you want to have a larger one, you can do. So that was my second drink. I then went to, for dessert, Mama Melrose, that have got a cherry chocolate cake, which is a plant-based chocolate cake with a Morello cherry pomegranate molasses sauce.
Whoa.
50.
What isn't plant-based in a chocolate cherry cake?
Eggs.
The pork chop.
Chocolate? Well, I mean, obviously, if it's dark chocolate, it doesn't have milk in it. If it's milk chocolate, shockingly, has milk in it.
What does dark chocolate have in it?
Well, it doesn't.
Steak.
What do you think milk chocolate is?
It's just chocolate with milk in.
Right. So dark chocolate is chocolate without milk in it.
Is that it?
Absolute gumba.
Fucking hell. I'll never do that. I'm fucking learning.
Every day's a school day for Craig. Good luck.
Have you ever tried?
No, I've not been fortunate enough. But anyway, I mean, I didn't get it because it was a plant-based chocolate cake. It just happened to be a plant-based chocolate cake, but it sounded really nice. I love cherry and chocolate combination. So yeah, $8.50. For my last That's drink, cheap. It's a dessert. I mean, I don't think $8.50 is cheap for a dessert. I don't think it's necessarily expensive. It's, you know, in the middle. For my last drink, I've gone back to the Brown Derby, but this time the lounge, and it's called a magical star. Jesus. It's called a magical star cocktail. That is the name of it doesn't bother me. right? And obviously, I went. Well, by
I thought
the
you were going to say it was a magical starfish for a minute, and then it was right back to the beginning of the episode.
Magical star cock.
Yeah. So it's got X-Fusion organic mango and passion fruit liqueur, Parrot Bay coconut rum, pineapple juice, and a souvenir multicolored glow cube. So I'm the glow cube kid. I'm bringing all the glow cubes home with me.
At least we won't lose you in the park.
Just clear a drawer in your house and make that the glow cube.
The glow cube drawer. Yeah.
I mean, we need a t-shirt shop because I'm the glow cube kid. Needs to be a t-shirt.
We'll have to get Lord Luke out of frozen hibernation. And I couldn't remember if we. The one thing I always forget is the format for this. I need to be reminded of the format every single time. So. I didn't do three drinks at first. I had to choose the two drinks fairly quickly, but I did put a snack down as well. And if I was going for a snack, I'd be going back to the baseline. Smoked almonds, house-made sweet and spicy almonds, $6.25. I love eating nuts. That's for Craig. And, you know, I really like spicy and smoked nuts. So that's what I'd go for. Just love them. Love some nuts in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't? Handful of nuts into the mouth. It's beautiful stuff. So that is my menu.
Oh, right. There's my wedding night in one go. Mr. T.
I don't know how to follow that one.
It wasn't supposed to be that way. He just ended up that way because crazy.
Stop. Stop digging.
Oh, Mr. D, what's your starter?
Okay. Like, so
just some nuts on a silver platter.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
some nuts on a chin. Todd, okay, Todd's ears have just pricked right up.
Well, I don't know whether it's just his ears.
Well, my honourable mention might give him a bit of a thrill. So, for my starter, I've gone to the Sci-Fi also, which is a great place. Like Sci-Fi. I mean, the food isn't amazing, but you can find some decent stuff there. But the atmosphere is just great, and the theme is fantastic. So, for my starter, I've got an honourable mention because I almost went for the fried dill pickles at $12.
Oh, I looked at that as well.
Your choice of ranch or horseradish dipping sauce. Personally, I would have gone for the horseradish, but I didn't go for that. Instead, I went for the Sci-Fi smoked wings at $15. Smoked chicken wings tossed in a Porter barbecue sauce with a house-made pineapple and poppy seed coleslaw. I thought that sounded quite interesting.
Oh, that sounds delicious, yeah.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
I don't even like dill pickles, but I would have gone for the dill pickles as well, just to try.
Yeah, I would have.
Because you're a vegetarian?
I just thought it sounded good. And for my drink, I've gone for the, because I like a margarita, as you might know, I've gone for the spicy Martian margarita at $15. Patron silver tequila, Ancho Reyes Verde liqueur, lime juice, and pure cane sugar. Lovely. Okay, so then I let that go down, and I wandered around the park for a little bit, and I ended up going to the place that Nick was having his dog food in. I went to the Holybrood Brown Derby, but I didn't go for the sort of thing that Nick would go for. I definitely went on the meat front. So my entree is filet mignon with Walt Disney's roast beef hash.
Oh.
With asparagus, wild mushrooms, and brandy mustard cream at $49. Thank
Whoa.
You.
Whoa! That's right. Expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're paying, Craig, so I don't give a shit.
Oh,
right.
Fairly enough.
Hang on a second. I'm out hang on a second.
Town. What?
It was $29 for my vegetable supreme.
Yeah.
And Craig was like, oh, you know, I think that's reasonable. But no, your food that was, has got no, a load of meat in it.
You had tomatoes on a plate. That was expensive.
Yeah, in a dog bowl.
I just
bowl.
Got in a dog bowl.
Yeah, I mean, what do you expect? Yeah.
He's just got a bowl of corned beef hash there for $49.
A filet mignon on top as well. And it's Walt Disney's as well. So, I mean, you've got to pay extra for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, right, and the drink that goes with that And there were some good ones, I gotta say. I mean, there were some really good ones. There was a Grand Marnier flight at $46. So that was almost as much as the Bloomin' Steak.
Wow.
And it was Grand Marnier 100 year, and Grand Marnier 1880. But anyway, I didn't go for that, right? Because, well, I didn't want to rip you off, Craig. I know you're paying for this one. I didn't want to rip you off. So I didn't go for that. I went for Alberto Dante's Millionaire Cappuccino at $14, bargain. Bailey's Irish Cream, Grand Marnier, Kahula, and Frangelico.
Ooh. I do like a coffee at the end of the night.
Yeah, but this isn't the end, though. You've still got to buy me dessert. I'm not a cheap date, okay? So then we walked back to... We got a ride on Rise of the Resistance, obviously. It was a walk-on. It's only a five-minute queue. And then we went back to 50s Prime Time, where I had dessert, and I went for Dad's favourite peanut butter layered cake a la mode. Only $10, a bargain. To go with that... And I think I'm going to be sick in a bin going home, because the drink that I chose to go with that, I've gone for like peanut overload. Hang on a second. I got to find it. Where is it now? Here you go. Peanut butter and jelly milkshake at $9.
Oh, yes.
Calorific.
Is there any alcohol in there?
No. Who needs alcohol? You've got peanut butter and jelly. It's, you know, it goes perfectly with Dad's peanut butter layer cake.
I mean, Ryan would be foaming at the mouth there, wouldn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, fantastic. I'm down with it.
I haven't got any room for a snack, Nick, so no snacks.
No, look, I think
only snack would be like Gaviscon, maybe, at the end of that lot.
A Pepto-Bismol chaser.
Probably.
Right, so my start is the baseline tap house. And I went with, to start, the coffee rubbed ribeye beef puff. That's why I
this,
yeah.
This is the most childish podcast we've recorded in quite some time. First, Mummy and Daddy were shouting whilst me and P-Dubs were in the car in the back seat, cowering. And now we're talking about...
Daddy reached back and slapped you on the legs and said, shut up.
Now we're talking about nuts and puffs. It's brilliant.
with an olive salad, and that's $11.
It didn't make any better, to be fair. To
wash that down, I'm having a Sierra Nevada Hazy Little Thing IPA, 22-ounce draft beer, 6.7%, $10.50.
Sierra Nevada is a wonderful IPA.
So that's where I'm starting. Now, I have had several wonderful meals in the Sci-Fi Diner. So that's where I'm going for my main course.
1 second, Greg. Just to pause you 1 second. In the group chat, I have dropped the link to the picture of the risotto. So look at that at your leisure. If people start laughing while Craig's talking, they've opened up the photo. That's all I'm saying.
Looking. And it's very much belongs by the back door.
Oh,
dog's dinner. And also that, I didn't really want to raise that point.
What are those two things on the right?
They are supposed to be eggplant fritters or aubergine fritters, as we would call them.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's literally vomit at the top there. That's a pool of vomit.
That's risotto. So, what risotto looks like, you weirdo.
Well, no, you're right, yeah.
So, no, why it's only $29.
Now, Mr. D, you've eaten in the Sci-Fi Diner. Do you remember the picnic burger that they used to do? It's gone. It had a gherkin on the top or a pickle.
No, I don't.
What an unusual thing to see on top of a burger.
No, I know. But it was one of their burgers, but it's gone off the menu. So I got the drive-in barbecue burger. Our signature blend of beef and house-made seasoned, served on a brioche bun, topped with 9-hour smoked pork, bourbon bacon jam, cheddar, lettuce, and barbecue sauce, $22. So I went with, yes. And then I got the Magical Star cocktail for $17.
Good choice.
Pirate Bay cocktail rum, X-Fusion liqueur, pineapple juice served with a souvenir glow cube. A souvenir butt plug.
Everybody's got a glow cube except me.
Like we've got so many spares, you can have one.
Yeah,
okay. I'll give you one.
I'll give you one, as an unsaid to the bishop.
Yeah.
And then my dessert, I went to 50s Prime Time Cafe. Again, I've had many, many happy meals in there. And I got Dad's favourite chocolate peanut butter layered cake a la mode, $10, which is basically what Mr. D got, didn't you?
No, I got the layered peanut butter cake.
Yeah, not the chocolate peanut butter.
Dad's as well. I think Dad's greedy bugger because I think he likes a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, mine was the peanut butter.
And then I got Grandma's Picnic Punch, which is Grandma's concocted a wonderful drink for the family picnic. Bit of binge drinking, Granny. Vodka, peanut schnapps, creme de cassis, Minute Maid, zero sugar lemonade, in case you have a diabetic surge, and pineapple juice, $16.
Nice. I've got a retraction to make. You're right, Craig. It is the same thing. It's a chocolate peanut butter layer cake. So, yeah, we did order the same thing.
We ordered with twinsies.
Yeah. Did you go a la mode for the extra $2 for the ice cream?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Yeah.
Good.
The only thing that annoyed me about 50s Prime Time when I was looking at the menu is it's really shit unless you, if you eat meat, you're fine. But the veggie options are, they left a lot to be desired. It's basically salad.
Yeah. I mean, we've only actually eaten in 50s once, and we may have been unlucky, but it wasn't a great meal.
Yeah, didn't you have the fried chicken?
Yeah, we did, yeah. Kerry had the fried chicken, I had the meatloaf.
That's right.
And it was...
I mean, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah. But maybe we, you know, maybe, I would definitely try it again. The theming's great. I think what I would do is I'd go to the Tune-In Lounge, which is the lounge as part of the restaurant. Mm. So you can still get the atmosphere, you can still get the theming, but you could just get, like, a drink and a dessert, you know.
I mean, I'd do anything for love, yeah. But I won't do that.
Okay. All right, Bonnie.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Craig. I've actually been to the Tune-In. I didn't realise it had a name. But we went there. We had a reservation somewhere. We cancelled it because we wanted to go back to 50s Prime Time because we did have a good meal. And yeah. We went as a walk-in and said, you know, is there any chance to get a table? And she said, oh, yes, we can fit you in, but it'll be a wait. You can go and get a drink at a bar, and that's where we sat. And it was a nice, as you say, it's a nice atmosphere there. I thought it was quite nice, supposed to be a bit like a family home. It was it was nice. Yeah.
You went in as a walk-in, but did you leave like a bar out of hell?
Only when I saw the price of the bill.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that song. Mama Melrose is my favourite restaurant in the whole of Hollywood Studios, and I didn't pick anything from there because the two times we were there, we did the Fantasmic dinner package.
Yeah.
And the first time we did it, Tammy, the waitress, I mean, we didn't have Tammy the second time, but she was still there, so we went and met her, and we hugged, and we shared photographs, but we stayed in there for hours because it was raining. We didn't have any fast passes. We literally were going into Hollywood Studios for the Fantasmic. Mm. And we just ate and we just got pissed and we had a lovely time. It was absolutely wonderful. So I can't recommend that restaurant highly enough, to be honest.
Yeah, we've had again, we've had good experiences in there, and we've had ones that are just okay. We've never had a bad experience. I wouldn't say that. And I like the vibe of the restaurant. I think it just depends on what you pick. We've had some really good stuff, and we've had some stuff that was like, okay, it's fine, you know. But I like the place. I wouldn't not recommend it.
It's lovely to just kick off your shoes almost, because
yeah,
Disney is quite a stressful holiday now, whereas Universal's a bit more chilled out a little bit. Yeah. But it was just like a perfect storm. We just had this perfect afternoon where we didn't have to rush, because normally at Disney you've got to get your food down, yeah, because you've got a fast pass or whatever it's called now in 20 yeah. minutes, and you've got to get halfway across the park. Yeah. And it was just this perfect day. It was lovely. It was absolutely lovely.
And I will say, since we're talking about it, the Fantasmic dinner package is good, because it doesn't cost you any extra. And they've got it at the three different price points. So you can get it in Hollywood and Vine, which is kind of like a lower price point. Yeah. It's a buffet. You can get it in Mama Melrose, which is kind of the middle price point. And then you can get it in Hollywood Brown Derby, which is the upper price point. And mm-hmm. it used to be, I don't know if you remember this, Craig, but it used to be that the Fantasmic seating was on the right-hand side of the auditorium, and they weren't great seats, but then they moved it, and it's now in the centre, and it's good seats. It's really good seats. And often you can just rock in fairly late and still get a good seat if you've got one of those Fantasmic dinner packages. So if you're going to book one of those three restaurants anyway, it's a good shout.
Definitely. Yeah.
And you always find with Fantasmic that there's often not a dry eye in the house, so... Mm-hmm. Something else to bear in mind
when it comes back, whenever that'll be.
That's true. Yeah. Anyway, that's the last of my Meatloaf songs I was going to get into conversation. So, should we wrap this episode up?
I don't want to go.
I know. Look.
Doctor's returned.
I just, you know, I agree, Craig, but you know, sometimes it's better to go out on top.
Okay, the 4th of July is now Labor Day weekend. Happy Labor Day.
Have we commented on Obi-Wan? Have we all watched it?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, how bloody amazing was it?
Okay, all right, I'll tell you what. Just because we should wrap up, how about everyone leaves with a 5-word reaction? No more than 5 words. It doesn't have to be 5 words. No more than 5-word reaction to Obi-Wan. Have a little think.
I've got
I'll
it.
I'll play the Jeopardy music. I'll let it go six words. Yeah, I'll let it go 6 words. That's fine. Yeah, so I'll play the Jeopardy music now. Mr. D, as you're so eager with your 6 words, how would you sum up Obi-Wan in 6 words?
Obi-Wan, you're my only hope.
Fair enough. P-dubs?
I only need 2 words. Hello there.
I tell you, we're never going to take over from Komodo Mayo with
no, like there's another t-shirt.
I don't think I'll like that one.
I'll buy both of them.
Craig, how would you sum it up?
It lived up to expectations.
Oh.
It did for me. That last episode, just wow.
Overlong, padded, satisfying finale. Want more.
It could have been a movie.
Well, originally, and I think, I don't know if P-Dubs, you talked about this, but that was the original plan, right? It was going to be a trilogy of films.
Yeah, apparently. And it was all set on Tatooine, the first one.
Yeah. And then Solo happened.
Yeah.
But, Which, so, I mean, Solo's aged well.
So, what do you mean Solo's age? Like, Solo didn't need to age anything. It was a perfectly fine film. The biggest problem Solo had, as I can't believe we're now talking about this, I wanted to wrap up. The biggest problem Solo had is that Harrison Ford is such an iconic actor and Han Solo was such a beloved character that literally anyone stepping into that role was going to have a hard time. Then you actually employed a bloke you did employ to do the job who, you know, he's an okay actor, but he's no Harrison Ford. And it was doomed to fail. I still really want a Lando Calrissian TV series starring Donald
Yes.
That was by far the best thing to come out of Solo was Donald Glover's Lando Calrissian.
With a Chevy Chase cameo.
Yeah, yes. And it's all down to Donald Glover, apparently. Mm-hmm. They're waiting on him.
Well, he ain't gonna come be on, Miles Donald. Morales. He ain't gonna be Miles Morales anymore, so you may as well, mate. You may as well. Yep. I suppose by the time the next episode goes out, Miss Marvel would have finished. So if people have been watching that, we can find out in six words what people thought of Miss Marvel.
By the time this episode ends, Miss Marvel will have finished.
That is, in fact, I think we'll be halfway through Andor. It doesn't start for another 6 weeks.
Isn't Andor supposed to be like 24 episodes or something?
Shut up. 24 minutes, maybe. Not 24. For what it's worth, I'm really enjoying Miss Marvel. I think people are really missing out by avoiding it, but that's on them. That's cool. That's cool. You're racist. Right. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another one of these. We might be back next week with a Universal show. It's up to them. The ball's in their court. They've got to start doing stuff. Although I do want to talk Stranger Things Season 4, so we will at least talk about that, if nothing else.
I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're an idiot. Yeah. Why?
Because Ari was doing their A-levels.
Oh. All I hear is excuses.
I was tempted by another T-shirt that I saw on Shirtbox, which says, I went to the Upside Down, and all I got was a Strange T-shirt.
I did see that T-shirt. Which
I thought that was quite good. Yes. I didn't buy it.
I mean, that's basically one in the pink, one in the stink.
So the revelation for Stranger Things is that my daughter asked yesterday if she could watch. Now that we finished watching Stranger Things, could she watch Stranger Things? And we decided we are going to let her give it a go on a Sunday morning with episode one of season one and see how she gets on.
While she's dining.
What age is Alistair?
She's nine.
Windows open and the lights on.
Well, look, the only reason why we even contemplated it is because I thought Doctor Strange would be too much for her.
And she liked
and she loved Doctor Strange. So
yeah,
you know, we thought we'll just give it a go, and you know, if she's asked to do it, and you know, her friends have done it, so. I'm not bothered about that, but, you know, if people are apparently okay with it, then we'll see how she gets on with it. I don't know how she'll get on with it, but we'll be there to watch it with her. And the best case will be that I get to rewatch Stranger Things at the beginning. The worst case, I get to see episode one again. And I have a traumatized daughter. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. But we will be back soon. Please like, subscribe. As the YouTube generation say, that's when you know when new episodes are coming out, because you do. Thank you again to all our Patreons. You know, you've got your little shout-outs now in the form of a musical interlude during this. I lovingly recorded, but we appreciate you. And also thank you to Lee and Haley, who just recently joined us as well on Patreon. So thank you. And just like the Haunted Mansion, there's always room for one more. Or 100 more. So thank you, Mr. D. Thank you, Craig. Thank you, P-Dubs. And we will see you very soon on the After Dark Podcast Network.
Fuck the Tories.
Hurry back.
Except the Tories.
This podcast is a That production and part of the After Dark Podcast Network.